each one here this morning. Bring you greetings from the Church at Living Hope, Belleville, Ohio. Invite you all to come worship with us there. When Brother Joe asked me to come and share, he said Sunday morning I could do my choice, and then Sunday evening I surrender life and marriage in the home. Then it got switched around. I thought he wasn't very merciful to me. I consider myself a younger person, at least young married, and not very long ordained. So I desire an interest in your prayers as I share some thoughts that I gleaned, thoughts from others, and also from the Word of God. I'm not sure what goes through your mind when you think of a surrendered life. My encouragement this morning is that we don't look at the negative, but we look at the blessings of a surrendered life, what it does. I looked up the word surrendered in the dictionary. It's rendered to give back, yield, resign, commit, yield to the power, control, or possession of another in demand. Agreed to forego especially in favor of another. To give oneself up to and to the power of another, like a prisoner. Or to give oneself over to another as an influence. Then my own thought, joyfully serving others. So when I think of a surrendered life, that is my thought this morning. It's in joyful service to others. I think before we go into the part of marriage or the home, we need to understand what a surrendered life is. In order for us to have a surrendered life in our home, in our marriage, we first need to be surrendered to God. And we must understand that a surrendered to God, that we must be surrendered to God before we are able to surrender to others. So it's important that we are surrendered to God. When we are completely surrendered to God, we are willing to do what God asks us to do. Surrendering to God also calls for surrendering to others, not just about myself. Now, Jesus was our perfect example in living a surrendered life. He came, he did not have his own agenda in mind, but he had your life and my life in mind. Jesus does not ask us to do one thing more than he was willing to do himself. Following Christ is not something to do on the side. As a hobby, it is not possible to follow Christ half of the time and to do as you please in the off time. Christ requires us to surrender all. Not just part, not just when I want to, when I feel like it, when it feels good, but all the time. Have we surrendered our all to all of our relationships to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? How well we surrender to others is a sign of how well we are surrendered to the will of God. Now, how do we surrender ourselves to God? We give back to God our lives. We must give ourselves back to God who created us for his honor and glory. Become under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Surrender my whole life to God, not just part of my life, but every part of it. Our whole life. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that the prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Gives a thought here I want to take here. It contains a thought of surrender. Not just today and tomorrow, but the following day. It's an ongoing process. It's not something that we can achieve in one day. Or it's only for today, but it's in every day of our life. It's today, it's tomorrow, and as long as we live, we need to surrender to God. And we also need to understand that our surrender starts at conversion. our surrendering to God is at our conversion experience. So at that time, as our Christian life, you know, we have lots of ups and downs in our life. We have times of discouragement, times of struggles, temptations, and all that we need to surrender continually to God. We need to be open to Him. If we can't continually surrender to God, we cannot be His disciple. And then in Psalm 37, verse 5, it brings out the word commit. I think it's commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit is also another thought of surrendering. I'm willing to commit my life to God. I surrender my life. When we commit our lives to God, we are surrendering to Him. We need to surrender every area of our life. The things I control, the things I almost control, and the things of which I have no control. All those need to be surrendered to God. And also many other areas of our lives. You know, often we can choose in life how to surrender to something. And there's not always a right and a wrong way, but it is a choice. But we need to check ourselves whether we have surrendered these decisions to Christ. And one way of helping us is, are we able to hold up these decisions to God's larger picture to see whether they are ultimately building or tearing down His kingdom? That tells us whether we're surrendered or not. If we're building or tearing down His kingdom. If we can or cannot tell, cannot, will tell us if we are surrendered to God. In 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Our Master wants us to surrender our cares to Him as well. He wants us to give everything over to Him. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. That's a promise we have. That God is there. He's wanting to care for you and I. And we just have to surrender to Him. I don't know, there's many times that things get scary and they get shaky. And there's health, there's sickness, there's financial losses, there's relationship struggles, disappointments, there's death. All these things we need to surrender over to God. And just because we surrender them to God does not mean that it's going to be easy to face, or that we will not face it. But God is there to help us through those times. He is there to help us to surrender and commit these things to Him. Here's a quote I found. When we worry, we are reaching beyond our realm of responsibility. To reach thither is to doubt God's omnipotence. Is that surrender? I know it's hard to surrender and to give our all over to God, especially our cares and things like that. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I think this recipe here sums it up for a surrendered life. It's just to live in the fruit of the Spirit and make that a part of our life. Now, our vision is to love, and our vision in life needs to be to love, to serve, and to bring honor and glory to God. To love and serve my spouse and children. True surrender is a personal choice that you have to make. It's not forced upon you, but it is a choice of yours. Moving on to the next point. How do we surrender in marriage and the home? Like I said, I've not been married that long. We haven't. Only 14 years. And it doesn't seem long at all. So I see a lot of people here that are older than us. So I kind of fear and tremble a little bit. When we think of surrender in the marriage is not a practical necessity or a cure for lust, but a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. That is what marriage is. Marriage is not to take care of our love life, our lust, but it symbolizes Christ and the church. So what is your marriage? When someone looks at our married life, what do they see? Do they see Christ and the church? Or do they see frustrations and ill will? Marriage is a holy union, a living symbol, a precious relationship that needs tender, self-sacrificing care. That's what marriage is. We go back in the Garden of Eden and the first marriage or the home. I have some questions here I don't have answers for, and I'm not really saying that there is even answers, but just points that you can think about. What was Adam and Eve's relationship like when the devil came to tempt Eve? How was their marriage relationship? It doesn't say, and I don't know that it really matters, but as a thought, I struggled or grappled with a lot. What was their relationship like? Where was Adam when Eve was facing the big temptation with the devil? Where was Adam? Why didn't Eve go running to Adam for safety and support? This is my own thought. I wonder if this is where God saw the importance of love and submitting at this time. Eve stepped out from under her safety realm and failed. She also convinced her husband to fail. Adam was not strong enough to resist the temptation. When God came along, Adam instantly put the blame on his wife. We as men, where are we at? When our wives are facing something, they make the decision to do, etc. And then there's the consequences to those decisions. What are we going to do? Are we going to help our wife through those if she could have done different? Or are we just going to stand back and point the finger? It's your fault. You take care of the problem. And Eve put the blame out on the devil. Neither one of them were willing to accept their wrong. In our marriage today, if we don't take personal responsibility for our actions, our marriage will be a disaster. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Be jumping back and forth in a few verses here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:21. The word surrender is not found in the Bible that I could find. It uses a lot of other words that had the same meaning. And here it uses the word submitting. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. So I'm going to put in surrendering yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So how do we surrender ourselves as a marriage? In humility. We are not better than our spouses. We are created equal. We are all the same. But in that, the man is given the responsibility by God to lead out in marriage and the home. When we surrender to God, we are becoming more willing to obey his command to surrender to others. So when we as men, we surrender to that headship that God has put upon us, we are also surrendering and committing to obey his commandments and surrendering to our wife and our spouses and our families. And it's the same way with the wives. When they surrender to God, give themselves under their husband, they're also submitting to God and surrendering to him. In marriage, both the husband and the wife are called to surrender. Submission and surrender are rarely a problem in the homes where both spouses are in strong relationship with Christ and where each is concerned for the happiness and the better of the other. So I don't think submission and surrender. Surrendering to each other will be a problem, or not much of a problem, at least. You know, we are in strong relationship with Christ. Now, there'll be those times it might come up a little bit, but we can work through them and go on. It's not there to haunt us. A man must be in submission to his head, God, if he expects his wife to be in submission to him. The same way a man must be surrendered to God if we want our wives to surrender to us. And in this, it's not a lording thing. We are equal. So let's remember as we go through the message that we are created equal in the eyes of God. We are same. We are just asked to fill different roles in life. So I'm going to talk to the husbands for a little bit. You wives can listen in. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the blood, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. There's lots of ways we could go, and we could spend the rest of the morning talking to the men. But I chose just to point out a little bit in love. And in love, surrendering, submission. Submission and surrender for the husband means putting aside his own interest in order to care for his wife. We demonstrate this by loving, caring, encouraging, and helping our wives, having a listening ear and a caring heart. The man is the spiritual head of the family, and his wife goes along with his leadership. But real leadership is service. Far too often, us as men get the thing in our head, we're in charge. We call the shots. It's up to us. Well, it is up to us, and we are in charge. But real leadership is service. It's for the better of my wife and our family. It's not just about me. It's not just what I want. You know, as Christ served his disciples, even the point of washing their feet, so the husband is to serve his wife. A wise and Christ-honoring husband will not take advantage of this role. So that's what surrendering is, being there for our wives, helping her. I wondered how many of us back in our days of courtship, we were over at our girlfriend's house. We helped with the dishes. We did this. We did that. We went out of our way to make sure she felt loved, cared, and her needs were met. How is it today? There's lots of areas I need growth in as I was studying it. Things that God brought to my attention. And one thing I enjoy a lot is Sunday afternoon washing dishes with my wife. We let the boys run. We let them go off to the living room or wherever, and we do the dishes ourselves. That's quality time. But when I was ordained, the Sundays I preach, my wife won't let me wash dishes. And I kind of miss that. But, you know, I'm ready to sit back and relax after a message. But yet, that's a point. Do we still care for our wives? Are we still there helping the way we should? And helping like we used to? Or are we now, well, we're married. She's stuck with me. I'm going to go sit in the recliner and I'll let her do the housework. Love your wives. If you notice, it doesn't say in the Bible, wives love your husbands. But it says, husband loves your wives. Why? I don't think that we, as men, feel like we don't love our wives, but sometimes we get busy with life and we forget to tell her maybe. Or we're like, well, we're busy here. Honey, I love you until I tell you otherwise. But that doesn't work. We need to be daily assuring our wives of that. How do we love our wives? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love her more than you do yourself. Are you willing to give yourself to your wife? Do you love her more than you love yourself? Are you willing to give your life for her? We only have one wife, one husband. There is only one and only one wife. All my love goes to her. She is entitled to it. Your spouse, your wife, is entitled to your love and no one else. She deserves it. It's all hers. We are to love our wives just like we love our own body. If we love our wives, we love ourselves. It's almost like we're allowed to love ourselves if we love our wives. But with that, you have to love your wife if you want to love yourself. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. So this is how we're supposed to love our wives. Holy without blame before God in love. Without blame. Needs to be holy. There is more than twice as many verses in the Bible about the husband to love his wife than there is about the wife submitting to the husband. Do we as husbands get the point? The Bible has a lot more to say about us loving our wives than it does about the wife submitting to the husband. We as husbands dare not take advantage of our wives in role of submission. We must treat her with love and respect. How does a husband love his wife? He should be willing to sacrifice everything for her. We are the savior of our wives, protector of the body, of her body. I need to forget about myself so I can lead out in a godly way that enhances our relationship with God and each other. We need to forget about ourselves and be there for her, to lead out in a godly way. Loving my wife is surrendering myself to being open to her and her needs, both spiritually and physically. So if I say I love my wife, am I open to her needs? Her physical, her spiritual, her emotional, mental needs? My wife must come first, before my own self, before hobbies, before work, before our farms, before hunting. Boys, before your trucks. Your girlfriend, if your vehicles or your personal, I don't know you boys, whatever is your hobby, remember, don't get too engrossed because someday you have to surrender that. And I see a lot of homes where as young boys, they're all into their hobbies, they're hunting and other things, and they get married in a year or two, it's all, nope, I'm home with my wife. And all of a sudden, the husband's out here hunting, the wife is at home with 4, 5, 6 children, has to go look for firewood, and the man's out hunting. Where is our surrendered life to our wife? Can I willingly lay down my own things aside for the sake of my wife and her needs? If I don't surrender to the needs of my wife, how do I think she will surrender to me as a husband? So it's a two-way thing. I think we as husbands have the greater responsibility. It is our problems if there's issues at home. We should make her feel well. We should make her feel well-being of primarily important. We need to make sure our wife's well-being is of primary importance to us. My wife's spiritual, mental, and emotional needs are met. They are most important to us. Does she have the confidence that I have her best interest in mind? We are responsible to protect our wives. We are responsible to care for her spiritual life as well. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, it says, live joyfully with the wife of whom thou lovest all the days of my life. Live joyfully. Joyfully submit and surrender to your wife. Joyfully give up your own pursuits for the sake of your wife. You'll be blessed for it. He should care for her as long as he cares for his own body. Now, my wife is more important to me than making money, having the latest and the greatest stuff. Again, our hobbies, our hunting, or work, whatever. One thing that I try to do is every dollar that I spend for myself, tools, personal things that I would like to have here and there, is to spend equally or more for my wife. I'm not saying I always attain it, but I think we as men would do well with that. Are her needs met in the house? How many of us are willing to work out on the farm, in the shop, with only limited tools? But then we just think do we have to buy this yet? Do we have to buy that for the wife in the house? Or can we just willingly go buy it for her, where it makes it easier for her as well? Now, that only goes for personal things. I'm not saying, we're not going to go buy a farm for X amount of $100,000 and then return and buy something in our wife's house for X amount of $100,000. That's together. A property is a joint effort. But what I'm saying is just our personal gadgets or whatever. Another quote I found, if I put my wife before myself, I will be greatly blessed in return. The return on investment is tremendously good. So remember that. If we put our wife before ourselves, the return on investment will be really good. How about secrets? Us as husbands, do we have secrets in our lives that we're not willing, or that we're trying to keep from our wives, that we're not willing to surrender to her? Our struggles, our temptations. We have secrets. We're asking for shipwreck in our marriage. We may not allow anything to get between us and our wives. When we as husbands love our wives the way we should, it will be easy for her to give herself under us. Unconditional love is what we need to do. In Colossians 3:19, it says not to be bitter towards our wives. That's like unkind to our wives. But guide our tongue in what we say about our wives to others. And then in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Never, again, men, never make a joke about your wife to others in a derogatory way. That is not surrendering to her. That tears down our marriage. Then in 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Give honor to your wife. How do we do that? Let's be the shoulder for her to lean on and to cry on. Be there for your wife. That's surrendering to her. Say, I'm here. Come to me. Be there for her. We are heirs together. It's not just about me. As a man who cares for his body benefits himself, so does a husband who loves his wife. His wife will profit him a lot. So I think we as men, we have a lot to do in our marriage as far as the wives submitting to us and their willingness to do that. Now I have a few thoughts to the wives. This is where I admit I fear and tremble greatly I have a wonderful wife, but I realize that God has created man and women different, and my desire is to be an encouragement to y'all. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "For the husband is the head of the wife." Sorry. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Again, submit and surrender are pretty much the same thought. Surrender to your husband. It's a commandment from God. Now, if you struggle to surrender to your husband, often it's a sign of lack of submission and surrendering to God's leadership that he is asking of you. If you surrender willingly to your husband, you are laying that responsibility. You're taking that responsibility and putting it on him and say, it's your problem. You are to lead out. You are to make the decisions, but you will support him. A surrendered life is a supporting helpmeet for your husband. You will be there to be a helpmeet for him. When a wife yields her will to that of her husband, she yields to the Lord. When you can surrender to your husband, you are surrendering to the Lord. Like it says in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by their conversation of the wives. Why, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." By you surrendering to your husband will speak tremendously to him. Now, if your husband is struggling, we as men, we all struggle. And there's times the devil really hits us. And we're like, which way do we go, or what do we do, or what is right, what is wrong? Is it really important? But you're just surrendering to him, and your confidence in him will speak tremendously to him. He will want to love and care for you. Pray often for your husband. Be honest with him. You can make your husband a real man, or you can make him very inferior. It's up to you. How does a wife submit and surrender to her husband? Verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Meek and quiet spirit, in the sight of God is a great price. You can't even put a price tag on it, right, men? What are you willing to give for a meek and quiet spirit in your wife? No one's speaking. They can't put a price on it, ladies. Humility in spirit, supporting your husband. Quietly supporting your husband in his decisions. Being the helpmeet he needs in time of decisions. Faithfully standing by his side in loving support. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 through 14. "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, for if they continue in faith and in charity and holiness and sobriety." Surrendering her desires to be in control and to be heard. Surrender that open over to your husband. You know, if you can surrender that over to your husband and you lay it on his shoulders, he's responsible. You don't have to face that responsibility. Be willing to learn from your husband. Be teachable. Don't try to control your husband by whining or not talking. Be charitable to him. Treat him with a meek and quiet spirit. In return, your husband will want to hear you and love you and take care of you. Adorning yourself to please your husband. When you adorn yourself for your husband, you are furnishing him with the power and authority. Beautiful to look at. Don't be loud or bold, but a meek spirit. Use your beauty to enhance your husband. Use it to bring honor to him. Now take that beauty of yours. We as men love it. Use that to enhance your husband and not yourself. Don't try to draw attention to yourself, but to your husband. Make it where your husband can't help himself but to love you. You have that power in your hands to help. You can make where your husband can't even help himself but to love you. That's all yours. Or you can make where it's really hard for him to love you. That's your power as well. Another area, practical area, is guide your personal desire to be noticed of others. Remember, you are your husband and not others. Yes, the unmarried girls may say, but what about me? I don't have time to go into that as much this morning. But there again, keep that to yourself until you're married, and then let it for your husband. Dress in a way to please your husband, to draw attention to him, and not to draw attention to your own body or yourself. Your body is your husband's. It's not someone else's. It is for him and him alone. Don't try to outdo each other in dress, style, and fads and fashions. That's trying to draw attention to your own body, and you're taking that away from your husband, and he deserves it. But if you do that for yourself, you're taking away from your husband, saying he doesn't deserve it, and you're going to give it to someone else. I'm going to put a phrase in here, but it does not give us men any rights. Now, is it any wonder that men struggle with moral thoughts? If a lady takes attention off of her husband and puts it on someone else, but we as men have our part to do in that as well. We have to guide our eyes and our thoughts. Here's a quote I came across. Women are neither to dress immodestly, so to exploit, which is to manipulate their feminine charm, hindering the brethren from worship, nor are they to overdo their dress, provoking their Christian sisters to jealousy. Next one, be content in your calling in life. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. I think I might have the wrong reference here. You know, the thought of keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You know, when you are keepers at home, that is the word of God. That's what God is asking you to do. You're obeying God. And that's where the word of God can't be blasphemed. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Got the wrong reference there again, sorry. Here is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The thought of keeping the word of God or being faithful at home, guiding the house, bear children. Now be content in your calling in life. Not everyone can go off to the mission field. Not all girls can. And maybe God is asking you girls to get married at a younger age. Or maybe he says, wait till you're 30. Or till you're 40. Or maybe never. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you. He has a purpose and a plan for you in life. And as you young girls surrender that to God, you will find it a lot easier to surrender to your husband. I know of young ladies, couldn't wait till they were 16, couldn't wait till they were 18, couldn't wait till they had a boyfriend, couldn't wait till they got married. Then if they'd only have children, they can't have children, and they only have children. And it's just never found contentment and satisfaction, never surrendered that will to God. And you as men also, surrender yourselves to God. Be content in your calling. God is asking you to take care of your husband, to provide for him, to make meals and to provide clothes and food and etc., to keep the house. And be happy and content in doing that. You know, there's times the husband passes on, and then the responsibility does lay on you, and you have to go out and be on. But God will give you grace at that time. Don't worry about that until that happens. He's not asking you to do that now. But he's asking you, he's calling you in your life to happily, contentedly support your husband. And what about if God doesn't give you children? Find ways to reach out to others, other children. Not everyone is blessed with more children than a couple. One or two. And some have a lot more. I realize it's a huge struggle and disappointment not to have children. But don't put others on a guilt trip for having children. But be faithful in serving in the church and in home where God has called you. God will bless you for that. I thought I'd share a little bit maybe on the children. Children surrendering to your parents. You know, it's going to be really easy for children to surrender to us as parents if we as parents are surrendered to each other. I think that's the first and foremost importance, that we are committed and yielded to God, and we are faithfully to fill the role God has called us. We are faithfully providing a safe home, a safe haven of rest, a happy place for our children. You know, if we as parents can't surrender to each other, what do the children have to look up to? We as parents play a big part in how easy it is for the children to surrender to us. Children, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Willingly surrendering to your parents that God has given you. Be grateful and happy and thankful for your parents. Willingly obey them and submit to them. Do what they ask you to do. Be willing to hear your parents. They're there by God. In Colossians 3, verse 20, it says, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Obedience to parental authority is pleasing to the Lord and the child's relationship with him as well. You know, if you want God to bless your life, obey your parents. If you want him to be there for you, protect you, and to keep you, obey your parents. Obey your parents. They are concerned for your souls. As you obey your parents, that's how your obedience is to Christ. And also uses the word honor. Honor means to have inward respect and reverence for. Now be willing to obey on the inside as well. I know it gets harder as we get older. I remember being at home. There was 8 of us children, and at one time there was 6 of us from 16 and older. And my oldest brother was 26 when he got married. So there was a bunch of adults around. And we all had our ideas and our opinions. And at times we all wanted to be heard. But yet, we have a godly heritage. We have good parents. I have great good parents. And I think as parents, I don't have this down pat, but my desire is when my children reach that age, accountability, they turn to God, where I have a desire to love God, and I can help them in adulthood where there's not really this thing once I'm 21, boom, I'm in control, and Dad, you're done. Or 20 or 18, whatever that age is. But that we help our children make that phase in life where all of a sudden we need Dad as his support. Dad, what shall I do? Well, children, you go back to your parents and a question, and they give you an answer. They're responsible. They're accountable just as well. The promise is twofold, to honor and obey your parents. Honoring and obeying your parents ensures a long and prosperous life on the earth. How is that done? A life that is free from sin and evil. If we honor and obey our parents, we stay free from sin and evil. The temptations the devil wants to put in front of us, if we say no to those, we will have a prosperous life. We might not be promised 80 years or 25 years, but we will promise a long and prosperous life if we faithfully serve God, if you as children do. Conclusion. Oneness in marriage does not mean losing our personality in the personality of another. Instead, it means caring for our spouse as you care for yourself, learning to anticipate the other person's needs, helping the other person become all he or she can be. This is a surrendered life.